storm. John chapter 8 and verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." All right, notice Jesus is following up on those that have just become believers. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. There were some Jews that had become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives them instructions. And he says to them, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So it's a wonderful thing to get saved. It's a wonderful thing to believe. But then we are supposed to continue. And continue in what? Continue in what, according to the verse? Continue in his word. Continue in his word. Now, a synonym for the word today is the Bible. Okay? The Bible. Continue in my word. So shall you be my disciples indeed. Now, the word disciples means a student. That's what it means. We're supposed to be students of the Lord Jesus Christ and students of his word. And I want to just kind of give you a charge this morning to continue in his word. Now, the purpose for my charge today is because this is my last Sunday school class here in Eden for a while. Who knows? I don't know how long, but I don't know if the Lord will work according to the vision that I've put out there, but I hope to spend about the next 3 years of my life, if the Lord lets me live, and if the Lord tarries over in Evans at this time, trying to plant a church in the town of Evans. We have a place that we will be meeting in, the Recreation Hall for now, at the Triton Valley Estates. The owners of the estates have been very good to us. I talked about some of this last week, so I want to go on. But we will be using that facility for now, and a few of you will be getting letters on it this week to explain a little bit more in detail. I'm going to be meeting over there with a little core of believers about 9:30 on Sunday mornings for about an hour service, and then I'm going to leave and come back over here for the 11 o'clock service, and I've tried to train those over there to care for each other and care for the congregation. We're hoping God will build a good congregation. It's up to him. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, he does use human instrumentalities, and so he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves unto God a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And so a bunch of us are just presenting ourselves to God and saying, "Lord, here we are. Here's the town of Evans. Use us to try to get something started over here." Now, this being my last class, I want to just try to give you a charge today to continue in the Lord's word, personally in your own lives, as well as in involvement in whatever the church offers you. To be there. Be in every class. Don't drop out of this class because I'm not coming anymore. But I want to encourage you to strongly I want to encourage you to continue on in this class. And I believe that would be in obedience to the desire of our Lord here, spelled out in verse 31 when he says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So we are believers first. And then we are to become disciples, that is, disciplined students. The word discipline is rooted in this word disciples. Being a disciplined student of the Lord's word, the Bible, and of Jesus Christ himself. Studying Christ with the vision of eventually becoming just like him or more like him. And that's when we end up as Christians. That's God's process of developing us. He saves us so we can become disciples, and then he disciples us so we can become Christians, like the Lord, setting a good example. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so God wants you to be a personal Bible student on your own, at home. I'll talk about that in a minute. But he also wants you to assemble in the house of the Lord for the instruction of the Word. He says to the young, through Peter, just like we just read in John 8:31, in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Get into the milk of God's Word, the basics of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. God saved us so we could grow and become stronger and stronger men and women in the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. That word study is used very rarely in the Bible. It says study the word here, study to be quiet. And I'll show you one other one later. But it's interesting, this word study, it comes from a word which means to exert oneself. To exert oneself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing the Bible so well that we're approved of God and we're never ashamed when questions come up, that we're able to answer them. Study, it means to exert oneself. It takes some exertion to really be a Bible student and to know what the Scripture says. So I want to just give you three things here in Sunday school that I want to, after this introduction, what the Word says about our responsibility to the Word. Number one, I want to say keep attending Sunday school. Okay, keep attending Sunday school. I want to just challenge you and charge you here this morning to do something in this class, to do something big in this class without me, to build this class. I want to encourage you all that are here today to try to develop a spirit of building a church within a church by building up this Sunday school class. That's not something we've ever really done. We've just kind of came and sat here and listened, and some of that's my fault. This class could use better organization. This class could use better order. God just seems to always use things more when they're in order. And I want to encourage you to get others into it and to get some things in order. Maybe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you right now about this, maybe a couple of you, maybe two, three, four of you, about taking over this class, that is, in the organizing of the class behind the scenes, coming up with a mailing list, promoting the class, announcing who the teachers are going to be, who the subjects are, what the subjects are that they're going to be teaching, and keeping an attendance roster and having a goal to grow this class without me. Now, initially, as I said last week, Brother Chris Barron is going to help in doing a lot of the teaching, but you know he's leaving us, and I'm going to just kind of put him in charge of the class for a short time, but we expect that by next year sometime he will be on his way to the Philippines permanently to minister there as a missionary. That's God's calling on his life. That's the direction he's aiming for, but you know, it's not like you can just get on a plane and go. You got to have some support and kind of support team and net behind you. And so I think next June he'll be going to missionary candidate school. So at least up until then he'll be around here. There'll be some Sunday mornings he'll be missing, or Sunday nights rather. Wednesday nights where he'll be at other churches presenting his work, actually going on deputation, trying to raise some support, fortunately. He knows the language and the culture of the Philippines, and he's not going to need as much money as many other missionaries need to hunker down and live over there. And so I think he'll be able to raise his support quite quickly. But probably for the next 8 months or so, he'll be around the church here quite faithfully. And he'll be doing a lot of teaching. Now, I want to encourage you to support him. He's received his education. He's gone through 4 years of Bible college. He continues to study the Bible. He's a good man. He loves the Lord, and I believe this time will give him some much-needed teaching experience as he develops different subjects and shares them with you. I don't know how good of a teacher he's going to be. I certainly think he'll do well. I've heard him preach before. There's a difference between preaching and teaching, and I just want you to be here every week, if anything, just so that your presence is encouraging a young man who's going to be a missionary somewhere else in the world. That means a lot. And you can give him some advice, I'm sure, and just help him. And then if the Lord tarries for years and years and years, there'll be somebody in the Philippines that you'll all say, hey, we helped get him there. I mentioned last week other men. We want to have you develop little blocks of study, maybe take a month sometime on a particular subject that really interests you, that will edify the body of Christ, whatever your speciality might be. Perhaps a person in the Bible, or some doctrine in the Bible, or some book in the Bible, or some subject in the Bible that needs to be addressed. There's so many things that could be used to build up people on their most holy faith. Maybe something you know that I don't know. As Pastor Cole, I've never been there. I was talking about, we heard the preacher yesterday. Some of us were at marriage conference. We had a dozen couples there. He gave this whole big long synopsis on the book of Hosea. I said, man, I never knew that in my life. And he was going through all those things going on in the book of Hosea. And I told my wife on the way home, I said, boy, one real weakness I have in the Bible is the minor prophets. The minor prophets. I know a lot about, not a lot, but some about the major prophets, but the minor prophets. There's many areas, and some of you, I know, I think Brother Bill talked on astronomy one time when I was absent or something, and that helped build up people's faith, things like that. And some of you can develop a subject, and some of you have the knowledge, I don't, but how to use PowerPoint presentations and overheads and transparencies and a projector. We've got a screen here with a switch. You ever see that thing? It's pretty funny. It's pretty neat. Just flip the switch and the screen comes down. Not hard to set up or take down anymore. That other thing used to be kind of a comedy act every time we had to pull it down and put it back up, and that was fun. But some of you, and some of you can't. Some of you are not good teachers. You don't have to be. You know, if you think you're a good teacher but you're scatterbrained, I'm going to have to ask you to resist the desire to teach. There's some people that know what they want to say, but they don't know how to say it, and this is not the place to learn. There's other times when we're going to be able to show some really good quality DVD courses on different subjects. Frank Garlock has got some tremendous courses on music, and Kent Hovind on creation and versus evolution and other things we come across. And so there's going to be more variety in this class in the future. And I really want you, and maybe you're hearing your man say, I don't think I could teach something for a month. Well, maybe 1 week, maybe one class or something on your heart, and you think it can really strengthen the class. And then, of course, those weeks, maybe when you're teaching, just try to recruit everyone you can to come and just kind of have a pastoral, you know, attitude towards it. And of course, with all of these, I'd like you to check with me first, and maybe I can help you with teaching a little bit or give you a little bit more input or steer it or something, or at least clear it. You know, I certainly want to have some approval on what is being taught and what isn't. But this is the time for some leadership in this ministry to rise to the top. This is the time for some of you that have organizational skills and can use them humbly to start keeping attendance and keeping in touch with absentees and writing notes to those that are missing and trying to get some other adults into this class that don't come. Some new believers maybe into this class that doesn't come. We need someone to be the class secretary, that type of a thing. And so I'm just throwing this out here for you to consider about just kind of taking over this class right here and making it grow and not letting it just go dormant. Number two, when we talk about our text today, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. This is the desire of our Lord. Continue in the word of God. Okay, I hope nobody thinks like this, but I hope nobody says, well, Pastor Cole's not going to teach, so I'm not going. I hope nobody ever thinks like that. I hope you just say, hey, whoever's going to teach, God's going to speak through them and say something to me, and I'm going to be there to absorb it and be helped by it. But I want to say, number two, I want to encourage your involvement in the Bible Institute. I want to encourage your involvement in the Bible Institute. Immediately, you might want to look, for instance, at the back of your bulletin. You have your bulletin there, and there's an announcement on the back. I don't know how many of you are going to be around. I know it's inside the bulletin. This Thursday morning, I know most of you work or school or something. But there's an announcement in the bulletin. It says, there will be an organizational meeting with Pastor Jim Crone on Thursday, November 13th. That's this week at 10 a.m. for institute training from GVBI. Now, you'll see those initials around a lot. That means Genesee Valley Baptist Institute. That's just the name of the institute. They started up in a church here on the other side of Rochester in Penfield, Southeast Bible Baptist Church. You know, sometimes you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If somebody else has done the research and the work and so on and so forth, you can draw from them, like those ABC booklets over there are tremendous if anyone wants to work through them, and some people have in the past. That was done by Pastor Sargent out in Washington. He gave us the permission to print them and to put them out, and he's in heaven now, but those things continue to be a blessing to those that want to be discipled. Same thing with Genesee Valley. They've put together a great either correspondence Bible Institute or a satellite school. You can do it by correspondence as an individual, or you can be a part of a satellite school in your own local church. So this Thursday, any prospective leaders or students who have the time are welcome to attend. The information will be passed on to those who can't attend, and we want to get the Bible Institute going here as soon as we possibly can. And this is to be really involved in this. Now, you can come to any of the courses, sit in on any of the courses when they're taught, learn from any of the courses. It won't cost you anything. But if you want to get the credit, the college credit, it's going to cost you some time. There's going to be tests that you have to take that are all proctored. You're going to have to pay for each course. If you don't want to pay, again, you can sit through them and listen and learn. But if you want to get some credit, you're going to have to pay, and we'll find out the cost. Now, this is the only copy I have, but I'll leave this out there, the Genesee Valley Baptist Institute and Seminary. And it talks about different courses and who wrote the courses and what kind of diplomas they offer, and so on, and some discounts. There's a doctrinal statement in here. But, for instance, here's just some titles of the courses. Old Testament Survey, Personal Evangelism, Introduction to Bible Study, Biblical Counseling, Principles of Christian Growth, Pulpit Speech, Bible Doctrines, Apologetics, I'll get to that in a minute, Children's Work, Christian Home, New Testament Survey, Personal Finance, English Grammar, Youth Work, Life of Christ, Music Philosophy, Bible Doctrines 2, Creation Science, Ecclesiastical Separation, Preservation of Scripture, And so that's those are courses that if one finishes, they get an associate's degree in ministry. They've got an associate's degree in missions for ladies that they offer, a lot of the same courses that I just talked about, including, besides those, introduction to missions and missions methods. They've got four-year course on pastoral theology. Maybe some of you want to study to be a pastor, and maybe one of these works we're going to be trying to plant, you'll end up being there a pastor, an associate pastor, assistant pastor. And a lot of those same courses are here, but you have other ones added to it, such as speech and principles of Bible interpretation, Bible prophecy, cults, pastoral reality, pastoral epistles, church planting, family counseling. There's pastoral theology course. There's just a Bible course for those that don't want to be pastors, don't want to be missionaries. Four-year course. There's a course just on missions. There's a course on counseling, 4 years. There's a course on secondary education. There's a course on elementary education. And so there's certificates or diplomas offered in these, and these can keep us studying around here for years and years and years and years as we develop a Bible Institute. And then a lot of our young people growing up won't have to go off to Bible college somewhere. They can stay with us and continue to serve here. Now, some of these courses are going to be taught during the training hour at 5:30 on Sundays. A lot of you are here for that anyways. And others will be taught on Wednesday nights. When I finish the life of Christ, we'll start teaching a course there. And then, of course, there will probably be some maybe on some other night. It's going to take some sacrifice. As I said, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. And that word study means to exert oneself. To exert oneself. And so there's a couple things. Number one, keep this Sunday school class going. Build this thing up. Make this thing a lot better than I ever did. And some of you men get involved in teaching. Some of you ladies maybe get involved in organizing this class, promoting it. When somebody is teaching, whatever the subject might be, get the word out. You know, Brother so-and-so is going to be teaching on creationism for a month or something like that, and try to get people here. All right. And then the Bible Institute. Get involved in that or just sit in on it. If you don't have the money, well, sit in on it and absorb everything you can about these subjects. But we're going to try to keep the cost down. The cost includes your test. It includes the scoring of your test. It includes the books for that particular course. I think there's a couple courses where you may have to buy another book or two, but for the most part, the cost covers the course, testing, grading, and the books that are involved in that subject. So, okay. Now, third of all, I want to encourage you to learn something, at least start now. I think it's the time for it, and that's to learn about apologetics, number three. Learn about apologetics. Now, that's a big, long word, apologetics. I'm not trying to embarrass or anything, but anyone know what that word means? Using what? You're real close. Defending the Bible using, not scripture. Okay. All right. Anybody want to take another shot at it? Apologetics. You guys are really close, but it's defending the Bible using and defending God using preaching. Nope. All right. Using actions. All right. That would fit into the definition. All right. Apologetics is defending the Bible, defending God using reason. Using reason. Now, here's why we need to start learning apologetics today. Most people, I don't know if you know this or not, but most people in New York State do not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. They don't believe it. I think it's around 25, 27% do. We're one of the lowest states. When you get into the Northeast, it's around 22% of those interviewed do not be, or 22% believe the Bible is literally the Word of God. All right? So what are you going to do when you're out there and you're trying to witness to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and you start to, you know, show them and say, sure, you 100% you're going to go to heaven someday? And he says, no, I'm not 100% sure. I've got some doubts. I said, well, let me show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. He says, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. All right? If we will study apologetics, that conversation does not have to end right there. We can then go into reason and defend our faith. Did you know our faith is reasonable? It's the only thing that's reasonable. Did you ever really think about the theory of evolution? I was talking to a pastor recently who goes on to the campus of Kent State University, and he's there every Friday talking to the students. And he said, Pastor Cole, he said, you ought to see what the students believe nowadays. Staggering. It is staggering. And he says that mainly they question Christianity. They say it's not relative and it's not even rational. You people just believe in a bunch of fables and fairy tales and so on and so forth. He always says, well, let me ask you this. What do you believe? What do you believe about origins? And they say, well, I believe in evolution. And then he says, is that rational? Let's talk about it. And then he's able to expose to them what they believe. They believe that everything was once condensed in a small dot of matter. That's what they believe, if you study out the theory. Everything. I mean, you go on for light years and light years and light years and light years and light years of space, and all you see is planets and stars and all kinds of things, and just galaxies and Milky Ways and so on and so forth. They think it all was condensed once in a dot about the size of a period at the end of a sentence. Everything came from that dot. Now, brother, that's not rational. That's not rational. You can read it in their books. That's what they teach children. That's what they believe. That's not rational. And then, no explanation, but there was a big bang 4.6 billion years ago. That's not rational. Nobody was there. And so I can go on and on and on this subject right now, but I got to get back to my Sunday school lesson. The evolution of man, the evolution of animals, the evolution of plant life, the evolution of air life, water life, and so on, all came from the same one little cell and some primordial soup that somehow survived. And so that is not rational. But we can show people from creation that things are designed very, 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 very intelligently. We can prove that scientifically. There's a lot of intelligence in DNA. And as a result, we can, with reason, we can show that the earth is very young, scientifically, with reason. And there's a lot of other things. The same thing with the Bible. You can show things out of the Bible about prophecy and about history and so on and so forth that you can only come to the conclusion that somebody had to write this book who knew the future. You can show that using reason, not using scripture, using reason. And that's what apologetics is. That's one of the courses in here. And in fact, here's the definition of apologetics. The defense of Christianity based on reason. That's what, if you look up in a dictionary, that's what it means. The defense of Christianity based on reason. Now, as we close, just a couple scriptures You can turn to them or write them down in Proverbs 15, 28. I believe the Bible itself tells us that we should be what are called apologists. Now, one of the first times I ever heard the word, I confused it with apology. And I got mad. I said, I'm not apologizing for anything. But it's a completely different definition. And we need to be apologists. We need to be able, by reason, to defend our faith. And by reason, to defend our beliefs in such things as origins. Proverbs 15:28 says this, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. They just pour out evil things. But we study to answer. Your heart needs the study to answer. When you get stumped by a question, boy, you have just stumbled into an opportunity for you to learn something. Somebody stumps you at work with a question, find out the answer to that question, because I'll guarantee you by experience it's going to come up again with some other human being. Someone else is going to ask the same question sometime. And you need to be able to answer. The righteous studieth to answer. I believe apologetics is taught in 1 Peter 3:15. It says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give. What if you run across the Muslim? Did you know Muslims believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? There's a good start. There's a common ground. Well, you believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, right? Right? You know Muslims believe every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord someday? Muslims. You know they believe he was a great prophet? Boy, there's a lot of things you can work on to begin conversations with them. We don't just have to shut down and say, oh, okay, well, you're a Muslim. You have a good day. If we learn, but we got to study, we got to exert ourselves in so many areas. So many areas. Boy, I get the question sometimes, well, what's the difference between a Catholic and a Baptist? Well, you can't just go blank and shut down right then. You have just been given a golden opportunity to talk to them. Apologetics, that is the defense of Christianity based on reason. In closing, turn to Acts 19:9. I want to show you that the Apostle Paul was an apologist. The Apostle Paul was an apologist. In Acts 19 and verse 9, notice his ministry here. Notice his ministry. It says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. I want you to notice the phrase, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Also, you can see it on Mars Hill, back in the 17th chapter of Acts. The Apostle Paul got right out there where the unbelievers were, where the heathens were, where the pagans were, and he confronted them. He wasn't confrontational, but he confronted them with a good spirit. He got out where they were, and he was able to answer their questions. And it says he proved that Jesus was Christ, and he disputed daily with people. He didn't just hide himself within the four walls of the church and hope he never got caught. He got out there among the people. Didn't Jesus do that? Wasn't Jesus always trying to answer the questions of the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers? Weren't those people always trying to trip him up with questions? And listen, when you study apologetics in the Bible, what did Christ always do? What did Paul always do? He always then asked them questions. And that's one of the greatest tools you can use as an apologist. If they ask you a question, make sure you ask them one right back. Just like the pastor at Kent State who says, you believe in evolution? Do you believe that's rational? And he has learned about the theory of evolution where he can take them through that. And by the time he's done talking with them, they leave and say, whoa, what do I believe? What do I believe? Jesus, he answered the questions of the Pharisees and the lawyers and the scribes. But a lot of times he'd say, okay, but first let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. One of the keys, and this is something I try to do, and if you're a talker and you're out there trying to talk to people, one of the keys is to get on the offensive because we're right and they're wrong. Get on the offensive. Whether the subject's evolution or the subject is the scriptures being the word of God or Jesus Christ being Lord or whatever, get on the offensive. Don't be offensive. That never helps at all, being offensive. But get on the offensive. We don't have to be ashamed of Christ or of his words in this sinful and adulterous generation. I think they should be ashamed that they keep teaching this theory of evolution. With 170 years now of the theory of evolution being taught in our country and around the world, and they're still no closer to proving it than they've ever been before. Their theory calls for hundreds of millions of transitional fossils, and they can't come up with one. So we have to learn apologetics. So there's a couple things there. I just wanted to close my tenure here as a Sunday school teacher in this class. I've enjoyed it, but I don't really feel like I've ever built it like I should have. Number one, keep attending this class. Get behind the leadership of this class. If the Holy Spirit's working on your heart, and you don't have to talk to me today or anything, but soon, if you want to say, Pastor, I'll keep attendance of this class. I'll get in touch with absentees. I'll try to recruit new people. If you're a man and you honestly say, you know, I think I know humbly something about this subject or this person or this character or this book of the Bible that could help this class, let me know if you want to teach. And, you know, you can be creative. Get behind Chris Barron as he starts teaching next week for a little while, and just give the young man your prayers, and then get involved in the Bible Institute some way. And really, we need some people. Boy, I'll tell you, I think I just think the world's going to get harder and harder and harder to be a Christian. We need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and also if we're going to be planting churches, we're going to need some leadership. Not just pastors and assistant pastors, but just some good men that'll, you know, it's a lot easier to start a church when you got some good, strong believers right from the start who will be a part of that small nucleus. And then learn to be an apologist. Learn to say, you know, I don't have to be ashamed of what I believe in. Because we're right. Not proudly, humbly, but we're right. And they're wrong. And the truth is going to win out in the end. And we need people who can intelligently, in an educated way, defend their faith. Defend what they believe. Well, I believe in the New International Version of the Bible. You don't have to attack the person. But man, the Lord has used me, I know, to convert a lot of those people to the King James Bible without hurting their feelings at all. But it's a subject I've studied, and I can go, okay, let's look at this verse, let's look at this verse, let's look at this verse. Because the next thing you know, their eyes are big, and they say, I didn't know that. They changed this. Pretty soon they're saying, where can I get a King James Bible? So many issues. We got to know what we believe, why we believe it, and present it in an intelligent way. All right. Well, let's close for now. Our Father.